Hi there. Welcome.
Hi there.
Well, I've realised that I've always said hello and welcome.
Okay.
To... anyway, I was quite loud. Hello and welcome to Inside the Actor's Studio is what I was going to say.
No way.
That is what I was
Have you been watching that on YouTube? Is that why?
I did watch the Hugh Laurie one, actually. Anyway.
I watched the Hugh Laurie one. It was really good.
It is really good. It is a mystery.
Did you watch him on Jules Holland?
I did. I don't love his voice.
Oh, I really,
really don't love his voice. But musically, I think it's great. Anyway, start again.
No, do you really? Oh, okay, fine.
Do you want to keep that?
Yeah, why not?
The show started. Welcome to Ideas Above Our Welcome to Ideas Above Our Station with your host, Paddy Garrigan. That's me.
And me, Matt Bell. Hello. You can tell the shoddenness of a show when it's like, have we started yet? Yeah, then we've just started. Yeah.
Well, we're getting relaxed in the. You may hear a noise that sounds curiously like some sort of masturbatory act. But that's actually Matt with a handful of rolled up bits of paper.
Yes. With themes in them.
Mm-hmm. On them, in it, even.
Do so the honours.
We're going to pick a theme. We actually used to do this off air, but we decided. Oh, I've dropped on, so I'll go for that one.
Yeah.
We used to do this off air, but we decided to bring it to on air as a thing that we do. This is one that you've written, sir.
Okay.
And this is sport.
Ooh, okay.
So welcome to the Ideas Above Our Station on sport.
Yes.
Now, this is hard, because usually we have at least 10 minutes to have a think about it.
That's true. But now we just can go off because straight off the bat. Okay, so what sports... Well, first of all, do you enjoy sport?
Oh, God, we could get into it that quickly.
Well, I don't have to.
Not even pleasantries.
No,
I've not even asked you how you are or
anything. That's true. Okay, fair enough. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
So, what sports do you like? That's true. Okay.
There you go. Okay, cool.
Should we tell them a bit about what happened last night?
Yeah, really. Do you want me to or do you want to?
You go for
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I was in my house, what I live in. I'm on the ground first. I'm on like the second floor. I'm in an attic bedroom. And my house is the front of my street, and I've got like a Velux roof window and a normal window. And then the back, there's an ensuite bathroom thing. And there's a Velux window that looks out, and you can't see the street because it's really high Velux window. You can't see the street or anything.
How many times have you said Velux in that last sentence? Are you trying to get some money coming through?
I did above our station, brought to you by Velux.
cracking windows.
No, that wouldn't work.
That's true.
Crack a window.
Smashing windows. No, that doesn't work either. Okay, you don't want to smash them.
A pain in the glass.
Good.
Oh, that works on so many levels.
It does.
I'm starting a glazes just so I can call it that.
I think we should spend the rest of our time just coming up with window puns.
I did see, have I told you this, that I recently, I think I've told you that I recently saw a, sorry, this is not window, but it's car, God. Which has got glass in it. It's for repairing dents to your car. And they're called Ace Dentura.
Oh, brilliant.
Well done.
I love
well
that.
Done.
They're painless
fixing of... I don't even know how they work.
No.
They're literally magic. Anyway, so I was sat on my bed. I was doing some work last night. I was sat on my bed on my laptop. Naked, of course. Doing some work. No, I wasn't. Doing some work. And I thought I heard Matt. Right, and first of all, it freaked me out because I thought, well, am I just, all right, someone that sounds like Matt, definitely possible, but he's got quite a pronounced voice, it's distinctive. Definitely distinctive, especially round here up north.
because I don't talk like that,
well, yeah,
is that
you're
why?
Quite, you've been a bit RP'd, haven't you?
Yeah, so, you keep saying posh.
But only relative, it's all relative.
It's all relative.
It's all relative. Yeah. Compared to, like, the Queen, you fuck all.
Yeah, that's
don't
true.
Worry about it.
Yeah.
And then I heard two things that proved to me it was Matt. One, I heard him do his Peter Griffin impression.
Yeah.
Which I didn't mention this last night in front of the people, but I noticed got a very little response.
It did. That's very true. Yeah, the people I'm with were not impressed.
No. I didn't bring that. I thought that was too far to bring it up to them. I didn't laugh at his impression, you bastard. And then the second thing was him asking, does anyone like the Chris Moore show? It confirmed to me it was Matt.
Yeah.
Which point I sent a text to Matt saying, are you near my house? Sort of panicked. And Matt's text back was just something like, oh shit, am I really that loud? At which point I just went out the back of my house and went over and said hello.
Thing is, and what I was worried about was I knew you lived around that area, but I thought you lived like in at least two streets further down and to the left of where we were. So I didn't realise that actually, you know, so when you text me saying, are you near my house? I was like, Christ, he could actually hear me from like at least maybe two blocks.
You weren't
away.
Even as loud as you thought you would be. That's all right. Then that's a good sign.
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah. But then to suddenly like see you coming down the down, you know, a door opening and see you coming just across the street from the opposite. At first, I still was convinced that you lived over at the other place. I was a bit like, why was he in that stranger's house? I don't know why. I just couldn't make the connection that that was the house that I had been to your house before. House, yeah. But I just made no.
We never came around the back. You went in front, I guess.
That's true.
But yeah, no, it's odd. And then we had a little chat about my housemates and the people that have seen smoking out of the back of my house, which is that girl with the blonde hair and one of the boys with the curly hair. Although said, no, I think your friend said the boy with the curly hair, which I pointed out there's two of them.
Yeah. Which one are you on about?
Anyway, yes. Sorry. So that was last night. Yeah. Which is a bit odd. And I came and said hello and didn't have a drink because I'm...
No, we were heavily into our drinking games by then.
Yeah, I felt like I was going to... miss out. Actually, I did. One of my topics was food and drink. Actually,
oh okay, it would
have been a nice coincidence because I could have gone on my rant about drinking games, but I'm not going to do that.
Oh well, hang on. What's wrong with drinking games?
Fucking stupid. They're for people with social inadequacies that can sit and have a chat whilst having a drink.
Okay, right. Okay, you don't find any merit to no merit to them whatsoever.
No.
Okay. Well, I quite liked it last night because you know. I get on with all the people I was with,
yeah.
And I could very easily have a chat with them and stuff.
Oh, you could you?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, there's something quite fun with drinking games. You know, you kind of just kind of get into the swing of it and you kind of... I mainly because I like games, I get competitive.
Okay.
I am immensely competitive in whatever I do. Even when I'm shit at something, I will still be competitive.
Okay.
So, you know, regardless...
I wonder if that's it because I'm really not in any way...
You're not competitive.
...at all. Constant bugbear of friends, in fact. That I just sort of not bothered.
So the idea of a game night is not something
No, I enjoy board games and things like that. I would enjoy a games night, something like that.
Okay.
It's something interesting and fun. But I just think drinking games. Have a fucking drink and have a chat with you. Anyway, sport. So sport.
Sport. Sport.
Yeah.
London Olympics are happening in, you know, a year or so.
Yeah. Stadium's finished before. It's funny, actually, that I can't remember where this one thing is on the BBC News website. There's a little report saying all the things that have been going right with the Olympics.
Mm.
We're so unprepared for it to go well, which is actually how it looks. The stadium's finished before schedule. Everything's sort of looking ready. Even the tube lines are going to be done.
Yeah.
It's actually looking promising for a good Olympics.
I really like the fact that that stuff has gone right because, you know, apart from, like, funding and stuff, which is obviously, you know, it was obviously going to go over budget, but, you know, that's kind of by the by. By the by. £4 billion you know. Oh, that's fine. That's pocket money. But I like the fact that we've had so much... As soon as the Olympics was confirmed that it was with us, all I was imagining was just, you know, papers like The Sun and stuff just saying, you know, like, almost like, you know, like... rubbing their hands with glee because they were like, oh, we're going to really sink our teeth into it when it all goes tits up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it never really has taken off with it going horrendously wrong like it did with, like, the Commonwealth Games did in Dubai, in India, sorry.
Yeah.
Like the...
Greece.
In Greece, the Olympics, with the fact that they didn't have a stadium like 2 months or 3 months before the actual Olympics. So I like the fact that it's all kind of still going on, that it's all looking fine. Are you interested in going?
Not desperate. I mean... It certainly intrigues me.
Right.
I certainly would not say no to going.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily think I'm necessarily going to pay to go.
Okay.
Because I did get a brochure looking through the prices. And it's weird, because I was in the weird position of, because I think in here, what you're going to be defending it slightly more than I am, the Olympics, as it were.
Mm.
Whereas I was with my parents, and they were really getting angry about the prices. And I was trying to say, well, at least some of the stuff's like £20, you know, some stuff. But then it is true that actually it's essentially the first round of everything's £20 and then it suddenly jumps up.
I'm not 100% sure that's true. The prices, if there's a medal ceremony of any kind, it shoots up.
Right.
But I'm trying to get tickets for random events. I don't want to go see the athletics. I don't want to go see swimming. I want to go see handball.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to go see archery. Do you know what I mean? So I'm trying to get tickets for the semi-final of the archery, which is, semi-final men's and it's £20.
Oh, that's cool.
Cheapest ticket.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and it's at Lord's Cricket Ground, so it'll probably be miles away. I'll probably be behind the actual thing they're shooting at. So all I see is essentially them just
aiming at you,
taking aim. Yeah, taking aim and aiming at me.
Don't wear a bullseye. Don't go as a mod. No, I agree. Yeah, no, I think, and also, I mean, the thing that I do like about the Olympics is that side of it is the biathlon, which is running and shooting.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. I love
that. That is random.
No, is it the modern pentathlon? Which yes. is like a sort of, it's a triathlon with some shooting in it.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I really like those sort of events. I love that there was the drive. Oh, I like that you have like rugby sevens and stuff like that.
Yeah. Rugby sevens.
Sevens, which is really, such a fast.
Actually, like, is rugby sevens in the Olympics? I can't remember.
There is a rugby sport in the Olympics. Okay. I'm pretty certain.
It's not the full-on rugby.
No, it's not full-on rugby. But I love that. Something different. Mm. A different sort of version of the sport.
Yeah.
And then you get like canoeing and kayaking and things like that. Like the sort of the ones that are on the white water.
Slalom.
Cool, like the slalom kayak is awesome.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Really, like, that's the sort of equivalent of the bobsledge, I guess, in the Winter Olympics. It's that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And even stuff like, I do like that about it. I like the kind of eclecticness. And I love the fact that there were drives when it was coming to England to try and get like darts or snooker as Olympic sport, which I really...
I'd have loved to have darts.
Darts as Olympic
darts
just
would
once,
have been amazing.
Just once. Olympic darts.
So Martin Wolfie Adams could be the only Olympic gold medalist
Absolutely,
in darts.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, I like that.
I love my darts.
And I also like, I think the spirit of the Olympics is the great thing as well, I think, about it. Just the kind of... Not from a nationalistic point of view or the sort of coming together of nations, but just the sort of thing of just having a bloody go. Like, there was the really famous one about was it a Samoan guy who ran
the
100
meters? Eric the Eel?
Well, I'm on about the guy that ran the sprint, actually. But it's the same principle.
Yeah, wasn't he like a weightlifter or something?
Yeah,
he was massive.
And he ran it. Oh, yeah. I think he still ran it in like 17 seconds.
Which is not bad.
Beat me.
Like, yeah, it would. Yeah, it beat me as well.
But yeah, stuff like that I love. Oh, yeah, Eric the Eel, who did the swimming and obviously finished three races later. But
had only learned to swim like a fortnight before or something.
In a 25-meter pool, not a 50-meter one.
Yes, he was knackered by the end, bless him.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
God.
Just things, yeah, but yeah, no. I think from the Olympics, I can enjoy that. But what about sort of sports? So speaking of the Olympics, because you're going, I'm probably not.
Well, I'm trying.
Are you hoping
to
go?
Yeah, I am actually. I'm trying to volunteer for it as well.
Oh, have you signed up to be a games maker?
Yeah, I got a games maker. Yeah, which sounds horrendously posh.
It is.
When it's actually all it would be. Yeah, or a World of Warcraft. I don't get that reference because I never played World of Warcraft. Did you?
No.
Oh, okay, good. That's all right then. I imagined you as like 14 years old going into the shops and sitting and playing World of Warcraft. I could totally see you as one of those people
I'm
that did
so
that.
I'm so not that sort of person. That's really odd.
I don't know. I just think, you know, there may have been, you know.
That's so anti-fun. I'm clearly the funniest guy ever. Come on, have a drink. We don't play a game, you cock.
Anyway, I got an email from them and I've got to go to for an interview. I think it's like the end of May or something. And... So they've, you know, I've got through the first round of applications and they want me to be part of the table tennis team.
Oh,
that's right. I'm going to be making the table tennis. That's, you know, that's what I want to do. Yeah. Games maker for the table tennis team. That's my,
wicked.
Yeah.
That'd
which
cool.
I think that'd be amazing. I've got to go to Gateshead and go for an interview.
Oh dear, that's a shame.
It's cool though.
No,
being part of the table tennis team.
So yeah, so speaking of that, so you'll be there.
Not to compete, I have to add.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's not how the Olympics works. You don't just apply. How good are you? I'm really good. Okay, well you can represent your country.
Just get images of a mildly racist, a pan-Asian person flinging ping pong balls in your face, to be honest with you. And you just go, oh for fuck's sake, I can't win this. So you might be there. I'll watch it on TV. Sports, live versus TV. Does it depend on the sport, for starters, I guess?
I think if I was seeing any sport live, I would enjoy it.
Yeah?
I think watching a sport live compared to watching it on TV is instantly, you know, much more better. I always say that. Awful English, the fact that I'm an English degree graduate. But I remember when I was younger, like, all the kids in my school were obsessed with football, and I wasn't really that fussed. Like, I kind of liked it, but I'd get a bit bored if I was watching a match on TV. Then I went to Elland Road and I saw my very first live match. And it just was brilliant. And I was excited for the entire thing. You know, when it ended, I was like, oh, is that it? You know, I was completely consumed by it. So then when I was watching it on TV, I could kind of get more into it.
Yeah.
Because having seen the live experience.
I think it is a cliche to say, but like cliches are mostly true. This one is too. That... Because it's just atmosphere, isn't it? In a stadium. One of the sort of worst games I've been to was it was the JJB Stadium in Wigan, and it was Rhinos who lost to St Helens in a Challenge Cup semi-final. This is a few, like, years, 7 or 8 years ago now. And it was It was at the time, it was the biggest sort of sporting event I'd been to in terms of a semi-final of something that I liked. And Leeds lost, but I just remember enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
It's actually a great stadium. It's the JJB Stadium. It's a really good stadium for rugby. In the same way that you sort of look at Headingley Stadium when it's empty and just think, oh, it's a bit sort of dilapidated. But you fill it with like 20,000 rugby fans and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about live sport. And even, because I've never been to see snooker live and would really want... I would love to see snooker. Because I watch it... It's on at the moment, it's the World Championships. I watch it regularly. If it's on TV, I will watch the snooker, an avid watcher. However, I will... A lot of the time, I'll find myself watch for half an hour, sort of drift away from it whilst doing something else on the laptop.
Yeah.
And then within another half an hour, I'll come back to it. If I'm watching it on the red button, you can watch like an entire game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the best thing about the red button. You don't just get an hour of snooker a day. You get all the snooker.
All the time.
But yeah, I'm really interested to go to see it live because you get the earpieces, so you get the commentary.
I was wondering about those.
Yeah,
is that for getting the commentary of like John Virgo?
That's
interesting.
I mean, the thing about...
It'd be funny if they said something funny by accident.
It happens all the time.
And then people just start pissing themselves.
That happens all the time.
I've never seen that.
You're not watching a snooker.
No, I don't. I watch like, you know, you say you watch half an hour and get bored. I watch about 10 minutes and then change for a little bit and go back. Unless it's a really, really good frame.
They sometimes do it where the TV camera will cut to a person in the audience. And they will say, so like a player's wife or a referee, and they will say, and there's so-and-so. And the person will sort of smile. I do remember once watching a game of snooker where there was something like the oldest snooker fan in the world. I don't know what the world record was, but I don't know how you judge the oldest snooker fan in the world. She's just the oldest person who's ever seen some snooker. Anyway, and they made this. It was an old woman who was like in her 90s, and they said something sort of to her, and she replied, sat in the middle of an auditorium, but someone was about to take a shot. She just went, ha, "Yeah, no, that's right." And the referee had to tell her to shut up, which I really like. That's great. Yeah, maybe we should go to some snooker.
We should. I want to go see some snooker.
Obviously, the season's on its way out now because it's the summer.
Yes.
Sports, outdoor sports are coming.
I want to go see snooker, but I also really, really, really want to go see darts. I love my darts.
Yeah. See, I don't massively love darts, but I can imagine live.
I could watch.
A drinking game I can get involved with.
What, darts?
Watching darts whilst drinking.
Do you know what I don't understand, right? I am not a cricket fan at all, okay? One of those things, I can appreciate people like it, but I just don't like it. You know, I don't get any pleasure out of it whatsoever. But whenever I speak to people about it who go and see cricket, I'm like, oh, so, you know, what's it like seeing it live? You know, because, you know, you're there for the entire day. You know, you're watching maybe your team not even batting. They're just fielding a lot of the time. You know, you maybe get one wicket in the space of 6 hours. You know, is it enjoyable? And they're like, yeah, you just get drunk and it's brilliant. I was a bit like, but that's not, you know, that's enjoying the atmosphere. But the atmosphere has to be... only a part of it.
Sport
has to be good for the atmosphere.
I can understand that. Have it as having been to test matches, not for all 5 days. I've been to, I think the most I've ever done is 3 days in a row of a test match.
Wow.
And I had a ticket to all 5 days, and it was England and... was it England? I have seen England ahead of me. I can't remember if the test match was England or if it was a Kentucky cricket match. Anyway, by the by. But I had a ticket for all 5 days of the test, and I only managed three. I sort of did... Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
It was like a Thursday, Sunday, whatever, but I did every other day because I knew it was going to be too much for me. But I enjoyed it. I completely take your point on board with this because I went with a book and the paper and radio to listen to the commentary and stuff like that and food and drink and stuff like that. And it's a really weird picnic. That's what I found cricket to be.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, 2020 cricket is a very different thing because it's...
Oh, yeah. I would watch 2020 cricket.
Yeah, or even like international one dayers where you're just on 50, like the World Cup, when you just have 50 overs. You just have half a day to win the match or not.
Can't believe that Cricket World Cup lasted. How long did it last? Like, it was essentially 2.5 months. No national, no global tournament should last 2.5 months.
Yeah,
the Olympics lasts a fortnight.
Yeah, but that's just
look at
so
how many sports
nations
they get
through.
Cricket is not the global sport. Football is the global sport.
I'm not denying that, but it's a lot more popular than football is in some parts of the world.
Well, yeah, but... You know, in terms of global level, if you look at the amount of countries, well, I'm saying this, I don't know. I bet there were more countries involved in the Football World Cup than there was in the Cricket World Cup.
Mm-mm, same.
Same? 32.
Teams
32? Really?
32 teams. Start with 32 teams and whittle them down.
But did they have to qualify to get in there, is my question.
No, I don't think so. I think some teams did, but some teams didn't.
Do you see what I mean? Like, you know, with football, everyone's gunning for a World Cup place.
Well, everyone that plays cricket is gunning for a World Cup place.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. But do you see what I mean? So I just don't understand why that... Well, by the longest World Cup is for a sport which not the whole world plays, and
but that's
it's
not
just...
the sport's fault.
It is.
That's just how it happens. That's because they've got that many matches. Because everyone plays a group match, plays each other twice.
I also don't trust the fact that in cricket, I don't trust the fact that that you know, a football match lasts 90 minutes, right?
Yeah.
A rugby match lasts 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Why in cricket do you have matches that can last a day, 5 days, 3 days, you know, half an hour, like, you know, just all these different variations.
Well, okay. So with extension, that does that go to something like golf or tennis?
I don't like golf. I don't
or
like tennis.
Golf or tennis or any sport where the length, snooker, in fact, where the length of the match is dictated by the sort of play that's happening.
No, because snooker is...
Because cricket can, a 5-day international cricket match can finish in 3 days if someone's doing really well.
But I don't know, with snooker, you have a set amount of frames. Do you see what I mean? Like, and it progresses, and you know that the final of snooker will be the best of 25 frames.
Okay, yeah, but those 25 frames could last like 4 days.
They could. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, this is the thing that I think, because there are different types of cricket, essentially, is my thing.
Yeah.
Pick a type of cricket. If you like to enjoy any cricket, sort of forget the other stuff. That's what I'd suggest.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway. We've definitely talked about, but I mean, the point that I was going to end this, that I'm going to end this bit of sport about, so specifically about golf,
okay,
snooker and cricket, is that I sort of do think that as much as I enjoy all three of those sports, the rule of thumb should definitely be, if there's time for stories in the commentary, the sport isn't happening quick enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
In football and rugby, you don't get enough time to have a nice little sort of 10-minute detour of a talk.
No.
Sort of have a little trip down memory lane. I mean, the snooker, in between frames, they have fucking videos. Sort of
yeah,
showing,
they do,
here's
yeah.
how they got here.
Yeah, yeah, so that's true. That's, yeah.
No, that's not a sport. It's just stuff happening within a period of time.
But then you've brought up an interesting question there. Snooker, is it a sport? What is a sport?
Well, that's true. I mean, because a lot of people will argue. I think snooker and darts fall in the same category of people either. Tend to love them both,
yeah.
Or at least like them both, but then really disagree with their sports. Mm. However, I just so disagree with that. Because anything that... I mean, even...
This is why it's the Olympic Games.
Yeah,
and not
that's true,
the,
not Olympic
mean?
Sports, yeah. Because that's the other thing, my guiltiest sporting pleasure. Here we go.
Go on.
Bowls.
Oh, okay.
Indoor bowls.
Oh, right. When did you turn 70?
Because it's like snooker, but massive. I think that's why I like it. And I also, it's the only sport that I've ever shown any application at, any possibility of being useful. So when I am approaching late middle age,
yeah.
I'm going to be the signed up member of the nearest Crown Green Bowling Association near me. Totally going to be my Sundays.
Brilliant. And there'll just be one person in the crowd. It'll be Steph with like a big sign just saying, come on, Pad! That'll be it. Both in your sort of...
I can promise you right now she won't fucking be there. I can sell from her. She
okay,
will
fair
not
enough.
Be there.
Yeah.
yeah, no. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? That I... Because, I mean, regardless of your opinion of whether you enjoy them as a sport or not, I think you would agree that you can definitely appreciate that they take skill.
Oh,
each
yeah.
Each of those sports take
skill. Oh, of course.
Skill.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why they're a sport to me.
Yeah.
There you go. That kind
okay.
of, I reckon that's...
Wow, that was I was waiting for you to end the sentence.
Sorry, I hadn't quite finished my point. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that if it's something that sort of it, yeah, I just people that whinge about darts and snooker are not being sport are just stupid.
Yeah, I do wish though, like, you could get away with like football chanting in just different other sports.
Yeah,
you know, like could you imagine snooker with chanting? That would be amazing. I'm just before every single shot, the whole crowd go, oh.
That
pot red!
The black, pot the black, pot the black.
That'd be amazing.
Who the fucking hell are you?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That'd be amazing. I would love that. I love football chanting is probably one of my favourite things about football, seeing it live.
Fair enough.
I just cool. Because some of them are so clever. I love the, when I saw Leeds versus Arsenal recently, one of the players dived or whatever. We all thought he dived and they got a free kick and it was all like, boo. And they were 3-0 up at this point. And, the Leeds fans just started, same old Arsenal, always cheating. And I was right next to the Arsenal crowd. who had not chanted at all. Arsenal fans are rubbish. They don't have their any interest in chanting. No, they just have no spirit. They're so used to winning that they put no passion anymore. But the one chant they did have was in retaliation to that, which was same old Arsenal, always winning. It's like, well, fair enough. I can't compete with that one, yeah. You know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, cool. Are we
what's,
done?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
What's the most enjoyable bit of sport you've ever either seen or watched or been part of? Any of those.
The most enjoyable thing I've been a part of is scoring my first ever try.
Good answer.
That was my I only scored one try in my whole rugby career. I was a forward man. I grabbed the ball and ran until I got stopped. So I was never one for scoring a try. But then there was a mall had been set up right at the end of the try line, and there was an opportunity for me to pick it up and just go, and I did, and scored my first ever try. And it was on a tour, actually.
Oh, that's
good. We were touring southeast London clubs, and so that was when I scored my first ever try, which I was quite pleased with.
Very good. I really enjoyed it.
And that.
What about something to watch or to
watch? A friend of mine took me to go see some squash. In Chapel Alton, he was when we were teenagers. He was a really keen squash player, and I was just starting to get into it. And he had a friend playing at this tournament, so it was like a local competition. But they were incredibly good at playing squash, and so I went along and watched like the quarters, semis, and final. And just it was good squash, but the kids were really precocious little twats.
Right.
And this ginger kid who was in the final, the other guy kept serving, and after maybe the first two games, he turned to the referee, who was sat in the crowd, sat just next to me, and just went to him. Bayman, he was maybe about, 13? And went, I see we're not playing the foot rule today, because three times my opponent has not had his foot in the square. And it was just like, partly it was like, oh, you shit referee, how did you not point to see that, you know? But also, you know, you're only doing this because you're losing. That was it. Yeah. And so, yeah. But so that was probably my favourite thing, because squash is something that I love, but it's really, really never on TV.
Yeah, no.
Even on the Commonwealth Games, it was on the red button.
Yeah.
And also,
because you can't see the ball. And
that's the problem. If you watch it, you have to watch it in HD or something, because you can't actually physically see the ball. And if you watch videos on YouTube, type in squash into YouTube. It's hilarious. It looks like there's no ball. So it just like looks like two mental people with rackets banging themselves into walls with occasional swinging involved, because you can't physically see the ball. You need to have like high definition to be able to see it. So that's probably my favourite. What about you?
It's a tough one. Being part of, there isn't.
At all?
I'm just not sporty. It's
okay.
Not happen.
Right.
It's just not. It's not within me to do any sport well.
Right.
So,
see, I was never very good at it, but I always loved sport. Okay. I always loved PE.
Just couldn't care less.
I got like...
It's all been cold and wet and then having to get in the shower afterwards. That's a shit day by me. I don't want that before English. I want to be in English.
Okay, fair enough.
Very unique amongst my peers, I feel, yeah. With that mindset, but there you go. And as far as watching something, I went to Old Trafford when Leeds United, it was in our peak. We beat Man United 1-0. Harry Kewell scored a header.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Leeds beat Man United 1-0, which I remember at the time. I think I would feel less... I would maybe pick something else, but as far as feeling something at the time, that was stunning.
Okay.
Even getting bus windows kicked at us on leaving the stadium.
Really?
Notwithstanding, yeah. Although I imagine that was mainly Leeds supporters. Anyway, probably best not to get into that in public.
No, probably not.
Just be wound up dead. Having recently been watching the bit of West Wing where CJ gets threatened.
Oh, yeah.
And then, he gets shot. West Wing.
Though. Yeah.
Having recently watched that, I'm very aware of threats to my personal safety.
Okay, good.
So I'll stay clear of that.
This is where we could be very easy to talk about Millwall and the fact that the away fans have to come in. If they come in on a bus, they have to go in through a cage.
I was at Leeds Millwall game whilst I was at university. I went to a game one season with
Elland Road
with a friend and his brother, and we got to the stadium about half an hour before the game started.
Mm-hmm.
And about 20 minutes before it started, the like 10 buses of Millwall fans arrived, and I really dislike this as a I dislike this story because it proves a prejudice. It proves a
bigotry.
What's the word I'm after? Not a cliche.
Stereotype,
thank you very much, God almighty. Anything that proves a stereotype is always annoying, because it's like, no, that's really the thing.
Yeah.
But 10 Millwall first buses that had come from the train station that came and brought the Millwall fans in through the cage, as you say. They arrived and they were literally kicking the windows out and throwing them at us as we were walking up the side of the stadium. And there was a bus driver and one police officer on every bus. And obviously the police officer was literally stood at the front with the bus driver saying, I'm not getting involved, which is completely fine.
Yeah.
And there was Matter Division there and they sort of couldn't do anything. And then at the end of the game, Leeds had won 3-2, I think, or 3-1. And so at the end of the game... We all left, and then they had to keep the Millwall fans in the stadium for like an hour until the fans dispersed. And that's just the really horrible side of football. And I know Leeds United has a bad reputation within the country for, and it's that thing because it's never the fans at Elland Road. I've never been part of trouble at Elland Road.
It's the players, it's the team. This is not what I was going to say, actually.
Oh, right. Okay. I was going to say it seems to be a minority of travelling fans.
Oh, right.
Is what it seems to be to me. Because I don't often see trouble incited by Leeds United fans at Elland Road. That happens less than Leeds United fans travelling away.
Right.
I think.
And let's be fair, they're the diehard ones. You know, no sensible person is going to go down to Luton for a League One away match on a Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's true. That's just diehard.
But I don't know. That is another stereotype of football that is occasionally proved right and is really... more upsetting for it.
Wouldn't it be amazing if cricket started having riots? You know,
they've already got weapons.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
Got a couple of bats knocking about.
And people talk about the atmosphere of cricket. All I ever see is people just going, "Oi! Oh!" and Mexican waves. That's another thing. If a sport is having Mexican waves, it's not interesting.
It's not
enough.
Doing well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go, cricket.
You can also, if you're watching
off, cricket. Sorry, that was my venting my spleen about cricket.
I am going to make a late New Year's resolution to watch as much fucking cricket as I possibly can to make up for all your bad will towards cricket.
I know. It's the thing is, I don't know. No, cricket is... Yeah, I just don't like cricket. But then mutually, I don't like golf either. I don't like tennis either. Mainly because of the people with tennis. Do you know what annoys me with tennis? I think I might find out. I don't think I've said this before. I can't remember. But I hate commentators who feel they have to say stuff. Just to fill a gap.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
It happens a lot in tennis
because you get a serve and a little rally.
Yeah,
and then a point,
and there'll just be a pause. Then, yeah. And then you know, so and then occasionally, and they do this in snooker as well. Actually, to be fair, you know, a player will say something to one of the judges, and it may be like a slightly humorous line, and it may be, oh, that was out. Oh, I didn't even see that. And then the whole crowd goes, and then the commentators go, he's such a personality. And I was just like, oh, fuck off. No, he's clearly not. No one in tennis has an interesting personality. But they do that in snooker as well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just like, oh, ha, ha, ha. He's always good for a laugh, is our John. I hate that. I hate it so much.
So I can't be doing with it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, an angry, rambling, badly made point seems as good a time to end
a
podcast as any to me.
This felt a bit like it's just been me just going, da-da-da! And you going, yeah, okay.
You know what sports I hate? All sport. No.
Cool. And this is coming from someone who actually likes taking part in sport, as opposed to you who doesn't.
No, but I watch them quite happy. Yeah, that's good. We're completely up. Yeah, maybe that is the... We're sort of making up for each other's personality. You play it and I watch it.
That's true.
Sort of. Yeah. Two halves of a hurl. That's where we'll leave you. Thank you for
listening. While we go and have sex in the corner.
Thank you for listening to Ideas Above Our Station. Don't be worried about the moaning. I can't end it there.
Okay,
Thank you very much for listening to Ideas Above Our Station. I've been Paddy Garrigan. With me, Matt Bell. As always, a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much. We'll be back in some other podcast in some other time.